Have you ever thought of the church as a fellowship of strange bedfellows, folks with whom you might not have ever normally rubbed shoulders, folks very unlike yourself in a thousand different ways? Oh, the strange bedfellows I have encountered in a lifetime of church membership. Same for you? I suspect so. Well, the disciple John resisted that idea strenuously. You remember John, a member of Jesus' inner circle, along with Peter and James, jealous for his master's reputation. John did not want anyone trafficking in his master's good name. And so he was appalled that a strange exorcist was using the name of Jesus to cast out demons, all without permission. Hear John's complaint. "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." To John, such an unauthorized use of Jesus' name was infringing on their franchise rights. And they had to be stopped in their tracks. No way that an outsider should capitalize on the miraculous power of Jesus. He's a bad imitator. Let us admit that we know this attitude, don't we? It is the most natural feeling in all the world. We find ourselves circling the wagons around our Jesus, the one we subscribe to. We become, as they say on the internet, reputation protectors of the one we serve. We do not want his good name rubbed in the dirt by strange exorcists or anybody else. Didn't Jesus himself say, as a matter of fact, two chapters later in Luke 11, "Those who were not with us are against us"? Yes, Jesus said that. Maybe this is what John was thinking. You've got to keep it in the family. Put it out in the public domain and it will get twisted. You know how people always distort the truth. Your brand name could be ruined. If you are not with us, surely you are against us. So John is one of us. We understand John. I understand John. I am often appalled at what people do and say in the name of Jesus. They seem to be peddling a Jesus I don't recognize. How dare they besmirch the Lord's good reputation? Isn't that like taking the Lord's name in vain? I feel John's protest rising up in my heart. Sometimes I just want to issue a cease and desist order. Wait, am I starting to sound like John? But Jesus will not let John set the agenda for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is far more generous, far more gracious than John could have imagined. Remember, this is what Jesus says to him. "Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is for us." And Mark's version says this: "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon thereafter to speak evil of me." So Jesus displays an amazing openness to strange exorcists who work without prior authorization. Jesus implies that this outsider could in fact be a fellow traveler in the kingdom of God. So he endorses anyone who does good on behalf of the kingdom of God, with or without permission. Consider Jesus' openness for a second. "Those who are not against us are for us." What a generous spirit. Jesus seems to issue, if you will, a broad invitation to anyone on the outside looking in. He leaves the door wide open for all kinds of strange exorcists, odd ducks, camp followers, and strange bedfellows. This is the good shepherd who once said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. This is the beloved master who said of the children that they were trying to push back, do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. This is the teacher who told a parable about inviting the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to a fancy banquet. This is the reconciler who called both a tax collector and a zealot to follow him. Matthew and Simon, strange bedfellows in the company of Jesus. Polar opposites, sworn enemies. One a collaborator with Rome and one who wanted to kill every Roman soldier in Israel. Both were invited to accompany Jesus. And we think we have political differences in the church. Please. The Gospels often remember Jesus' words and deeds because they addressed issues that the early church was facing. And one issue for sure was the outsider, the odd duck, the strange exorcist, and eventually Gentiles. Well, take for instance, initially, Saul of Tarsus. That Saul, who was breathing fire on the early church, standing by as Stephen was stoned, and sent to imprison believers in Damascus. But after seeing the risen Christ, Acts 9 tells us that Saul, now called Paul, returns to Jerusalem. And to say that there were doubts about his sincerity would be an understatement of biblical proportions. The text says, quite simply, the disciples were afraid of him, for they did not believe he was a disciple. An outsider, a source of terror, a sworn enemy of the gospel. The John factor was hard at work. How can you trust someone with such a checkered past? Until Barnabas showed up, this trusted follower of Jesus vouched for Paul's authentic vision of Christ. He vouched for his courageous witness in the streets of Damascus. Barnabas reverses the John factor, the distrust of the outsider. Barnabas speaks for Jesus, who you recall once said, "Those who are not against us are for us." So Barnabas welcomes the ministry of this fierce opponent turned great friend of the gospel. The doors of the church, brothers and sisters, are always open to anyone and everyone, regardless of their background and regardless of the skeletons in their closet. Regardless. And isn't that precisely the essence of the good news, that God takes on human flesh and dwells among us, even us? Doesn't Jesus seem absolutely careless about the kind of people he befriends, utterly blind to their obvious faults, even seems attracted to the scandal-ridden and the flagrant sinners? Jesus throws his arms around the most unlikely of people, especially the misfits and the losers. Well, think how he's welcomed all of us. We who are, in real sense, strange bedfellows ourselves, twisted in a thousand different ways. Even we are embraced and loved and accepted and welcomed. The outlaws and the angry, the dissidents and the indifferent, the self-righteous and the self-absorbed. Gracious heavens, Jesus does not seem to care one whit what we have done or our dark shadows or the trail of tears we may have left behind us. It just doesn't matter to this utterly gracious Savior who knows your past and loves you anyway. Don't we call that amazing grace? Are we not all strange bedfellows gathered here in worship today? Let's divulge the church's best kept secret. None of us deserve to be in the presence of God. And yet, here we are, by the sheer grace of God. If the word got out on the street just how gracious Jesus Christ is, I'm not sure we would have room for all the folks that would show up here. And we might think of them as strange, maybe even strange bedfellows. But can you imagine if word got on the street? I have a proposal that we should change all of our advertising for our church on the web, Craig. And we should have this logo: Presbyterian Church of Rio Rancho, a place where no one belongs. A place where everyone belongs. That's my proposal. Now, my eldest son, Aaron, and his wife, Shelby, and their two children live in Kerrville, Texas, recently hit by a deadly flood on July 4th. In this ruby red part of Texas, one of the first groups to arrive on the scene to help was a search and rescue team from Mexico City called Los Topos, which means the moles. They got that nickname from their heroic work after the 1985 Mexico City earthquake, rescuing people from the rubble. Los Topos arrived in Kerrville a week before FEMA. And though at first the locals were suspicious of these foreigners, these outsiders, their tireless energy endeared them to the entire Kerrville community. Shoulder to shoulder, American citizens and Mexican nationals worked to find the victims. Funny how a disaster makes for strange bedfellows. So as you come forward this morning to receive God's grace upon grace at this table, look at who is standing beside you. A sinner, much like yourself, saved by grace alone. A strange bedfellow, like yourself, welcomed by the same Lord and Savior who loved you and gave himself for you. And consider it a high privilege and a great blessing to rub shoulders with these amazing sisters and brothers for whom Christ died, to walk with them and journey with them in the light and love of Christ. What a privilege. What a joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.